Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Off Menu podcast, taking the egg of conversation, wrapping it in the sausage meat of humour, rolling it in the breadcrumbs of anecdotes and deep frying it in the hot oil of the internet.
Yeah, absolutely. As soon as you said about the sausage meat, I was like, yeah, this writes itself. Brilliant.
Hey man, it's the first episode of the series, so of course I need to come out the gates with a good one.
You need to let them know we're not messing around. This is a serious series. This series is going to be one of the greats. Go down one for all time.
Oh, wow. It was good while it lasted.
Yep. Okay, yep. Back to normal. Hello. James A. Gaster here. That's Ed Gamble.
Hello.
And we own a dream restaurant. Ed is the maitre d'. I am a waiter and a genie. And every week we welcome a guest and we ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink. Not in that order. And this week our guest is...
Tim Key. Comedian. Poet. Actor. Writer. So many things. Well, those four things mainly, I'd say.
Yes. Jack of all trades. I wouldn't be surprised if Tim, you know, released a music album one day.
Yeah. Master of all trades.
Master of all.
Jack of all trades, lest we forget, is an insult, I think.
Is it?
I feel like it feels like an insult. Yeah, because the full phrase is Jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah. Sorry, Tim. I didn't mean that.
Yeah.
Master of all trades, Jack of none.
Jack of none. There we go. Well, we're very happy to have the Jack of None on this week's episode.
Yeah.
He is about to release a book talking of one of his trades.
Yes, here we go, Round the Mulberry Bush. It's an anthology of poems and conversations from the outside.
This guy, last time I saw him, he'd just released a book, and now there's another book to come.
He's been very prolific, writing a lot during lockdown, a lot of poems, a lot of short stories, a lot of like scripts, it seems. This book is beautiful, flipping through it. Like the way it's all laid out, put together, just a feast for the eyes. Even if you didn't bother reading this book and you just wanted to flick through it, I'd say worth the money.
Well, good. And I got a free one and I'm not going to read it.
Yeah.
I'm going to put that on the pile of books that my friends have written.
Yep.
And I'm going to look at them all and I'm going to go, lovely. Aren't my friends clever?
Ed's very good. He'll get the book and he'll time it just right that it's kind of like convincing that he might have started reading it. And then he texts you going, great book, mate. Then you're like, what?
But no, I will actually delve into Tim's.
Yes, rightly so. I mean, yeah, it's all bite-sized bits, isn't it? Because it's all poems and stuff, so you can hack that.
Exactly. And he's an actor, he's in everything. Most of the good British comedy shows of the last 10 to 15 years Tim Key has been in.
They all call up Tim Key. Yeah. But even though he is a master of all trades, Jack of none, if he chooses a secret ingredient which we deem to be gross... then we will kick him out of the dream restaurant and he will get no dinner.
And this week's secret ingredient is Southern Comfort.
Southern Comfort.
Southern Comfort.
Ugh.
Disgusting.
It's really gross. Yeah. I think the first sip I had of Southern Comfort, I thought, oh, this is my new favourite drink.
Mm-hmm.
And the second sip, I was like, I never want to drink this again.
Yeah. I think when you start drinking, you think Southern Comfort and Jack Daniels are the most
Yep.
The coolest,
mm-hmm.
best drinks, especially with the sort of rock and roll reputation they both have.
Yes.
Certainly as a metalhead and reading things like Kerrang! And Metal Hammer, that Southern Comfort would come up in interviews a lot as the cool thing that the rock stars drink.
Yep.
And then you drink it and realise that they've got no taste, these guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you go, oh, yeah, they were all like, you know, actually looking back, they were all people in their early 20s in metal bands who don't know what the hell they're on about.
Exactly.
Just drinking Southern Comfort all the time.
No, horrible stuff. Gigs,
so then, yeah, awful. The Jack Daniels stuff really makes me laugh. We should choose Jack Daniels one day, because that was made out to be like the best whiskey.
Yeah.
And all the adverts are like, oh, Jack Daniels knew how to make whiskey. And like all the, like, you know, black and white photos of all the people who work at the factory, like it's the proudest thing ever. Yeah. And actually, I bet you go there and they're like, this is not good whiskey.
No, it's bad stuff.
Even the people working there must be like, no, of course I'm not drinking this.
And I always thought it was cool because Lemmy from Motorhead drank it.
Yeah.
And that guy was not well.
No, that guy, all the stories are, you know, as you know, this won't surprise you, given my, you know, YouTube history and how much I just watch what everyone used to be in Jackass is up to and stuff like that. I watched all of the speeches from Lemmy's funeral.
Yeah.
on YouTube. And they were all great speeches, but you didn't leave you going, I'm going to live my life like that guy did after all those stories.
I once heard that Lemmy drank so much in the first sort of 40 years of his life that he tried to quit drinking, and his doctor said, you can't quit drinking because if you go a day without a drink, your body will reject its own liver.
Wow. Even if that's not true, good story, whoever came up with it.
Yeah, thank you for coming up with it.
Tim Key might have come up with that.
Yeah, it might have been one of Tim Key's. And Southern Comfort was suggested by Scott Allen on Twitter.
Or Alan Scott, who's to say?
Scott.
Yes, Scott says. He is.
Scott says.
Yeah. Scott Allen.
And I'm going on tour, James. I'm doing my show Electric. I'm doing that all over the UK. It starts at the beginning of February. It finishes at the end of April, this leg. Ooh. So go on my website, edgamble.co.uk, and check out if I'm coming near your house. I probably am.
Okay. Even if it's not near my house, I'm buying a ticket. I'm going to be there at every show, everybody. You'll see me in the audience, and that's part of the challenge. You find me somewhere, I'll be sitting in the audience watching
the show. But don't try and find him during the show, because that would be distracting.
Okay.
Let's crack on then. If Tim Key says Southern Comfort, he is out of here.
Yeah.
This is the off-menu menu of Tim Key. Welcome, Tim Key, to the Dream Restaurant.
Well, thanks for having me.
Oh, welcome, Tim Key, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Oh, fantastic.
You like that?
Yeah, I didn't. Well, the been expecting you for some time was interesting.
Yeah?
Go on.
Have you?
Yeah, well, it's predetermined. We've always known since the start of time. Yes. We know who is destined to come to the Dream Restaurant.
It was inevitable.
It's your destiny.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It feels right. I'm glad to be here. It's a good atmosphere.
It is a good atmosphere.
Yeah, really good.
We were just saying before we started, it's a good atmosphere.
Good atmosphere, isn't it?
What do you look for in a restaurant atmos when you walk into a restaurant?
Water wheel.
Yeah.
Do you ever add sound effects on at the end of this?
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind a water wheel under.
For the whole episode, you want the water wheel? Because I'd imagine that's.
I think for the whole episode. Otherwise, you'd have to explain how. I mean, we could have it stop and then hear spanners and things as they sort of do maintenance on the water wheel.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. There'll be a bit of that.
We can do that, Benito. That's all right, isn't it?
Benito's job, yes.
Sort of distant swearing.
Yeah.
Because they can't get this bloody water wheel going. Maybe water sort of in the restaurant, people screaming.
Yeah.
A little bit Poseidon-y.
Okay.
Do have fun with it.
So you like it, but you like a water wheel in a restaurant?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's not a prerequisite. I'd never eat out, would I?
No.
Ever put your finger in a water wheel?
Have I ever put my finger in a water wheel? What do you mean?
Like when people aren't looking, you ever gone...
What, are you saying like dab it in the water, or are you saying put it in the spokes?
Put it in the water, just feel the water.
Yeah, because it's kind of moving along.
Yeah, feel it go over your hand, over your finger.
I haven't done that, would definitely do that. Have you done that?
No, I've never done it, but I'd like, it'd be... As soon as I see a water wheel...
You'd want to dunk your hand.
I want to put my hand in.
I wonder if Ed has ever put his hand in there.
Do you want to ask him? I can ask him for you if you're not feeling confident.
Oh, I'm confident? Yeah. I'll ask him. Yeah, okay. That's mad, you asking him.
Yeah, it's mad.
Ed.
Yes?
Have you ever put your hand in a water wheel?
What's a water wheel?
Oh, okay. So a... Well, you know, if you're at a working mill museum, mm-hmm. right? So you know when you see the enormous wheel that's being pushed
on the side of the mill,
sure, and it's been pushed by the river.
Yeah,
yeah, and then that's what's crushing the grains and making flour.
Mm-hmm.
That's your water wheel, the big wheel.
So you want? Do you want one that size in your restaurant, like a working mill in the restaurant?
Well, we can come on to that, but I'm asking if you did see that, would you put your hand in it?
No, that feels dangerous. I'll tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to, if it's big enough, sit on one of the
paddles
and go all the way around and under and then pop back up again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd go under.
I'd go under, mate, yeah.
We used to have a paternoster lift.
A what?
A paternoster lift at my university.
What's that? I don't know what a water wheel is, mate. I'm not going to know what that is.
I think he did the voice of the rat in Ratatouille.
So he did like the floor three. He did all that, did he?
No, look, a paternoster lift is a lift that continues to move. It's a lift with lots of platforms.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a water wheel, really. And it goes down and at the bottom of its cycle, it goes under and then comes back up. And the way you get on the lift is when the platform comes past your floor, there's no door.
Uh-huh.
As the platform comes past your door, you walk onto it.
What?
Yes. What do you mean, what?
It just sounds like something from a sci-fi film.
No, this is something from the Arts Tower in Sheffield. Can you imagine it? Have I explained it right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it just sounds
insane. Dangerous. It sounds quite dangerous.
Well, there's no door.
There's no door. You just walk on, for example, well, I need an example, level two. And then once you get to level eight.
Another example?
Level eight.
Yep.
You walk off. But if you mistime it, or there's lots of people trying to get off, then you might sort of...
You're on it for the next sort of half an hour.
You're on it, and then you either get off at, you know, level nine,
uh-huh.
and then get down the other side. Or I suppose you do have the option, if you're hungover, of going right up to floor 14,
uh-huh.
over the top, right back down, and then when you get to level eight, have another go.
And can you go over the top, or is there a bit where it goes upside down?
You're not advised, pardon me?
I was just thinking, if it's platforms,
yeah.
do they then go upside down and people are falling off at the top,
yeah.
or is it constantly flat?
So in my head, it's all taking place in like one like vast like a mine shaft where you can just fall off the edge of this thing and go into oblivion.
Do you know what? When I first started my description,
yeah.
I don't think I was at all getting my ideas across.
Mm.
And I could have done with the phrase mineshaft, because I think that's exactly what it is. You know, when you have constantly moving, I bet this is how they get up and down in mines.
Okay.
I do bet that.
Yeah, you bet that?
I bet that.
Okay.
So that's the least I bet.
They've not really caught on, these lifts, I guess, then.
No, because, of course, the...
this is a while ago, I guess.
The classic Otis 12-person lift is mm-hmm. the one that eventually took precedence. But, yeah, mm. the paternoster lift is... You know, it's got some use, I think. I enjoyed it at Sheffield.
Only the once, or you've been
No, every day I'd be on there.
You'd be on there every day.
Did you ever miss your platform?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And would you be angry at that point, or...?
I can't remember my emotions. I think it was just sort of, that's annoying, I have to get off at nine and then go back down to eight.
Yeah.
But what... It sounds like you could fall off.
Yeah.
And die.
I don't remember there were any deaths. I think they just shut it down. No one died, I don't think.
But they were like... Better safe than sorry.
Better safe than sorry. I mean, like, it's pretty safe, but sometimes you'd see someone who's almost missed their floor, and now they're about 3 foot, going on 4 foot, 5 foot, 6 foot, and sometimes someone would think, do you know what, I'm just going to go, and they'd jump off.
Would you like one of those in your restaurant as
no,
well?
No, water wheel, please.
No, just the water wheel, okay, yeah,
water
great.
Wheel. Or another thing I like in a restaurant is there's an Indian restaurant I go to sometimes, and there's a sitar player.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. But what restaurant's this if people want to go and hear the sitar?
It just creates this fantastic ambience.
You're not going to name it. You don't want people going to you.
It's fantastic. It just sits there.
He's not going to say the name.
Leant against a wall, just playing this sitar, and it's just brilliant. Because I like that anyway, an Indian restaurant, just sort of very nice, traditional background music. But to have someone actually there playing it is brilliant.
Do you want him sat on the water wheel so occasionally the song sort of gets muffled and cut out as he goes underwater and then pops back out again?
In terms of sound effects?
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, I certainly want...
Write that down.
I certainly want him to arrive into the restaurant on a paternoster lift.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
And have had a problem getting off. So, yeah. So he's got a sore head and he keeps playing the same sort of tiny bit of music.
Yeah.
And I'd like to be Western music.
Yeah, that's what you like, is it? When you say traditional sitar music, you want sitar music that you can go, well, that's what lovely traditional music. You go, hang on, that's Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Wait a second, that's Enya.
He's mentioned Enya.
Ah, right. No problem with Enya? Is there a problem?
Crossover, isn't it? No More Jockeys, you mention Enya a lot.
Alex Horn mentions Enya a lot in No More Jockeys.
Yeah. So you're stealing his stuff and bringing it on here?
Well, yeah, he can't get a gig on here,
can he? Can't get a gig on here. We won't have him.
I'm doing this for me, Alex and Mark.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah, you might as well.
We're going to list this episode as featuring No More Jockeys.
Yeah,
I've had, I'd say, a fair few meals with you, Tim, and I think they've all been Indian meals.
Yeah. You love it.
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know. What was that one in Edinburgh with me, you, Charlie and Horn?
Yes, that was an Indian meal. The restaurant was literally called Mother India.
Did I go Indian?
Yeah, you went Indian. Yeah, I don't think there was any option really at Mother India.
Okay, Mother India. Yeah, that would have been Indian.
Yeah.
What about another one? What was that one in that
we
weird...
had curry in Shepherd's Bush?
Curry in Shepherd's Bush.
Yeah. I've also had a curry with you in Shepherd's Bush, and it would have been in the same place, I'm pretty sure, after a Bush Hall gig.
How many curries a week do you reckon you're on now?
Now?
Yeah.
What do you mean now? As if I've cut down?
Right.
Or stepped up.
It's under control. I would say, well, you know, it's my favourite style of food, I must admit. Probably I'd have, like, Indian food maybe 3 times a week.
That's pretty good going.
Yeah.
I mean, I love it. I must admit. Going.
And every now and again I'll get a text from you.
Oh, but, and sorry, 4 Sri Lankan.
Sorry. Yeah.
Thanks for filling in the gaps there, Tim, actually. Yeah. Thanks, mate.
That's our next question. thought we were going to get 4 separate answers. Absolutely not. Are you alternating those days? So you go Sri Lankan, Indian, Sri Lankan, Indian? Or are you going all 4 Sri Lankan in a block, then all 3 Indian in a block?
Yes, Indian at the weekend. So, yeah, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Indian. And then, you know, chill in the working week.
Yeah.
Chicken security?
Well, we'll come on to that, won't we?
Is that in the...
Let's not guess.
We'll come on to that, won't we?
Oh, we've got something in front of us here.
What is this?
Oh, that's nice.
We've got something in a little bag here.
Little bag.
Little baggy.
Pull it out and see what it is. Oh! It's Here We Go Round the Mulberry Bush, an anthology of poems and conversations, brackets from outside, by Tim Key.
A beautiful cover.
Mm-hmm.
No picture again? Not gone with a picture of yourself?
No, not gone with a picture of myself because, you know, we're not attached to a large publishing house, so no pressure.
Oh, do you see when people have pictures of themselves on books that there's pressure from the publishing house?
Mm. They really like it.
Yeah.
Because they say, look, you're on telly, mate, and we need to give these people an underarm. They need to know that the chap from the telly wrote this book.
Yeah.
That's what you get in the emails when you write a book with a large publishing house. But if you can't get a contract with a large publishing house because your stuff has become niche, then you are completely at liberty just to have some sort of weird design stuff on the front.
Well, I'm looking around here. I can't see any publishers logo.
Well, it's published by a company called Utter and Press, but also that is just one person, weirdly.
So then they don't put their logo on the outside.
They're very modest.
They leave you to it.
They leave you to it is a great phrase.
Yeah. They seem to have left you to it.
I love companies who just leave you to it.
Yeah.
McVitie's do that a bit, don't they?
Have you worked with them a lot?
No, they just let you get on with it, don't they?
Yeah, I'm a bit.
As a consumer?
Yeah, I've got a relationship with McVitie's where I don't really have to mention them, but they don't have to pay me any money.
Let you get on with it.
Do you like McVitie's?
I don't mind them.
Yeah. McVitie's, what do you think about them, James?
Yeah, like what? I mean, the caramel biscuit one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you like that?
Yeah, with the chocolate caramel. Yeah, that's one of the greats, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for me, the flagship is the dark chocolate digestive.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That's the flagship for me.
The flagship is the plain digestive.
That's the ultimate flagship.
Yes.
But did I say ultimate flagship?
No, you just said the flagship.
Well, the flagship would be the dark chocolate.
You said the flagship for me, to be fair. But then I don't know if a flagship can be subjective.
But what I would say is...
I would say James is right there.
What I would say is the ultimate flagship has to be just the digestive.
But I would say that flagship suggests ultimate anyway.
Yeah.
There's one flagship. It's the ultimate flagship.
Yeah.
It's the plain digestive.
What would you say is the flagship of Plosive Productions?
Well, it's Benito, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh,
Benito himself.
Benito's the flagship.
Well, I would say he's the ultimate flagship.
The ultimate flagship. And then off-menu's the flagship.
Yes, great. Yeah. And I'm the flag guest.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tim, tell us about the book.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, the book is, you know, trapped in lockdown, started writing, and this is a collection of poetry and dialogues set in lockdown 3, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a book about lockdown 1, which is called He Used Thought as a Wife, and that's out as well, but, you know, this is the one I'm currently pushing.
Lockdown 2 didn't get a book?
Lockdown 2 was a little bit. I don't know what your experience was of Lockdown 2. It was a bit blink and you miss it, wasn't
it? Yeah. You'd do well to write a book in that.
Well, also, I was filming at that point.
Sure.
So all this stuff about, I've written a book in Lockdown 1.
Sorry, Ed, I do acting and writing. Go on.
Filming in Lockdown 2 and wrote another book in Lockdown 3. Did you ever think you're actually going to make people feel really bad, people who didn't do anything?
Uh-huh.
Oh, right. Well,
people who weren't motivated to do all this stuff.
No, because I also think it was fine. You listen to the radio and stuff and they say it's also fine just to relax and reset in those lockdowns. So
yeah, you and Bo Burnham absolutely doing a number on everybody.
I don't think you were particularly quiet, were you? Feels like you two, I'm not losing sleep over you, let's put it that way. You get stuff done. You seemed to continue your podcast throughout.
Yeah.
And then as the lockdowns eased, you would do things like a short run at Edinburgh or marry your sweetheart.
Mm-hmm. I cancelled the run in Edinburgh, but I did do the marriage thing.
Yeah.
And then you then you went back to Edinburgh to honour those dates.
Yes, I did, yeah.
Yeah.
Tim is across my diary, by the way.
That's, this
well,
is
it's
impressive.
Because when you cancelled your dates, I took them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point. I don't want to drill down too much on the pecking order here, but yes, it needed you to sort of get married and cancel your dates for me to actually do a run in the Monkey Barrel.
Yeah.
I watched.
You watched what?
I was in the audience. I saw one of your shows.
One of my shows?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did come along, actually.
Yeah, I did.
And then we had a couple of drinks after, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah. You wanted a curry, but everyone was like,
what? I can never tell whether this is an insult, me liking Indian food.
No, it's not at all.
No, it's good.
You seem very transfixed by Indian food.
Can I be honest?
Yes.
I went on Sunday brunch. Have you ever done that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I'm sure your experiences were awkward, but mine, I think, was next level. I'm chopping an onion.
Yeah.
And at one point they say, "Now you really like Indian food, don't you?" And I went, yeah. I don't know why he'd said that. I do like Indian food. Anyway, he didn't say anything back. And then I sort of became aware that I'd finished chopping the onion and he hadn't spoken since I started chopping the onion. So I think I did about 45 seconds where I'm just chopping an onion.
Yeah.
And that is very different from sort of promoting a book.
That's people love that, though. That's why people tune into Sunday Brunch.
It's a mad show.
Just like chop an onion.
And do you know what I like about Sunday Brunch?
Yeah.
You go on as a guest and they just let you get on with it.
Yeah, yeah. They do.
They get as a show,
I mean, that is the ultimate. They really do.
They keep your mug topped up, you know. Yeah. They shove some of the stuff that they've been cooking over to you. You go, yeah, that's fine. And then for a bit you sort of drink gin and sort of go, yeah, this is mad because it's 11:30. And then you sort of spill out into the street, lashed, and sort of go, well, I won't do that again. And then a couple of years later, there you are again. Sort of sat next to Jason Donovan and hoping for the best. Now, James, can I start with a sparkling water, please?
Do you want the sparkling water to also be in the water wheel?
Good. Are you dunking the cup in the water wheel?
I'm dunking my cup into the sparkling water wheel.
Yeah.
I don't want to. Honestly, people are like piranhas out there. They'll latch onto that and think that I'm up myself if I'm having a sparkling water wheel.
Yeah?
So I'll have a tap water wheel, please, and a sparkling water large bottle on the table with a glass with ice and lime. Thank you, James. Thank you, Ed.
Why are you worried about what people will think of you if you pick a sparkling water wheel?
I don't want... honestly, I don't need the backlash. No. I don't need the backlash that's inevitably going to come if I ask for a sparkling water wheel. Because that's literally, you know, 3,000 gallons of sparkling water.
Yeah.
And, you know, some poor sod having to sort of keep opening the old Highland Spring and pour it in as it's sort of going round. Yeah. And honestly, I can't be doing with having the tweets. No,
no,
I can't. So I think I'll have a tap water wheel, please.
What's the most amount of backlash you've ever got for something?
I don't know. Got a little bit this week, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I played a guy in Ricky Gervais's show, uh-huh, Afterlife. And I go on a date with Diane Morgan, and I keep telling us to get our elbows off the table and I'm not very nice to her. And yeah, so a bit of backlash with people saying, yeah, that guy's a fucking cunt. I mean, and then sometimes someone underneath would go, oh yeah, but he's not a nice guy and he does live stuff. That's that's acting. Yeah, he's a cunt. I'd have hit him. So I'll get tap water water wheel, please, and sparkling water.
Any particular brand of sparkling water?
Oh, now you're asking. Not really, but like it's a large glass bottle.
Yeah,
I really like that when it sort of, you know, clonks down.
Yeah,
and then, but I mean, what are your ratios for how many people are getting still water? I mean, I can't understand that.
I'm not sure. I bet someone out there knows what the ratios have been.
I think it's. Stillwater's probably in the lead. But then also what you've done is you've got yourself a situation where you can have still if you want because you can dunk your cup in the water wheel.
Yeah.
Or cut my hand in the water wheel.
Huh?
Cup your hand in the water
wheel. I thought you said cut your hand in the water wheel.
Cut my hand in the water wheel. Or even, dunk my head.
Would you do that?
Well, it depends what I'm drinking with the meal, doesn't it? We shall see. Okay. I mean, if I'm lashed, I can imagine a head dunk.
If you're dunking your head, when you pull your head out, you've got to shout something.
Oh, yeah. What am I shouting?
Well, you tell me. Just go with the moment. Visualise it.
Okay, well, one second. Yeah, I mean, okay.
Dunk your head in. Oh,
yeah. Are you shouting something before you dunk as well?
I know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I like he. But loud.
Yeah.
Example?
Yeah. I like he!
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a newer thing for you, Tim, I'd say, in the last couple of times we've seen each other. A lot of words now end with E.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I've noticed that.
Yeah.
I have noticed that.
I think last time we did a gig together, you kept sticking your feet straight out on the sofa and shouting chippies at the top of your voice.
That's because there were chips on the table. Yeah. Oh, we've got the stats.
We've got the stats. Yes.
Oh, right, okay.
And I'll tell you what, it's 60 for still. 59 for sparkling.
Whoa.
You've just level pegged it.
You've level pegged it, mate.
Is it really?
Yeah.
60 all?
Yeah.
Oh,
At
the time of recording.
Pop-ups or bread! Pop-ups or bread, Tim Key! Pop-ups or bread! Pointless question. We know what he's going to say.
No, we don't. We don't know what I'm going to say. There. Well, the thing is, there's so much... I mean, you've probably covered this, but there's so much nice bread out there.
Mm.
We haven't actually ever touched on that.
Well, I love
bread. So if you want to just go straight into it.
Well, I happen to love bread.
Yeah.
And some of my favourite breads that I would like to start with in these restaurants are, I do like a garlic bread. Sucker for it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I would never open with it in a restaurant because you're usually in an Italian place, and I usually have a pizza. So it's mad to have garlic bread and then a pizza.
Especially when the garlic bread comes in a pizza format, right?
Format was interesting there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Would you say formatty?
Formatty! Can do. I mean, I don't think you should be telling me everything I have to say.
we'll see.
Sometimes when you order, you don't know what format the garlic bread's going to come in, right? So you might be in an Italian restaurant and you go, go on, I'll have a bit of garlic bread before my pizza. And then it comes and it's a pizza and you know you've got another pizza on the way.
So you might have one thing in your thought bubble above your head.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's placed in front of you, that doesn't match up with your thought bubble.
Yes, exactly.
Well, also, one of Ed's favourite...
Ed Gamble.
Yes.
Ah.
One of his favourite dishes is the Marmite and garlic... bread?
Yeah. Cheese and Marmite garlic bread from Yard Sale Pizza.
He loves it.
So I regularly get that and then a pizza, and it really is double pizza time.
No, I've never seen that or heard of it. Yeah, I mean, look, you're talking to someone who used to go to a cafe where they would do a cheese, onion and Marmite toasty. Mm. And I wasn't exactly swerving it, let's put it that way.
Yeah?
Was this something that was on their menu anyway, or was it specifically for you?
Wasn't on their menu. It was an Indian restaurant. I'd have to take the whole lot in. This is Masala Zone.
They would do that at Masala Zone, to be honest.
If you ask, it's not on the menu, but if you ask for it,
they'll
do it for you.
And if you bring some Warburtons and Marmite, they're more than happy.
And the Breville.
Oh, and the Breville, sorry. Can I plug in?
Do you need to charge your phone? Sort of.
No, I need to make a starter.
Ever had a Breville?
Well, don't know, actually. I mean, I've got a George Foreman grill.
Mm-hmm.
That's not making a toasted sandwich, though, is it?
No, it's not. But, I mean, even you would have seen with the intonation that I was going to say some more stuff. surely.
Well, you left a big pause, and you can't. The George Foreman, the whole idea is to drain the fat off what you're making. If you're doing a cheese sandwich in that, you all the best bits pissing into the little tray.
You think I'm draining cheese?
No, exactly. That's why don't use a George Foreman for a toasty. That's what I'm saying.
I agree with you. Yeah. If you want to make a toast, I haven't had a toasted sandwich maker since university, and a toasted sandwich maker. That's the point. It's a discreet maker of toasted sandwiches. You can't do anything else in it.
Yeah.
You're putting everything you need in. You're buttering the top. You're buttering the bottom. You're buttering everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm buttering my tongue. I mean, everything, butter everywhere. And then slam it down. And then that stuff is, you know, you're making something that is crispy and dangerously hot. Yeah. And actually, it's not enjoyable to eat.
I think you're wrong. I've just bought a Breville. Reintroduced one to our life. It's changed my life.
That's changed his life.
I've said the wrong thing.
It's lovely. It's lovely to eat.
I've really done it this time.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Backlash alert.
So what are you using to make your toasted sandwiches?
I'm not making toasted sandwiches now. I'll do them under the grill sometimes.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, there's something to be said for that because it's sort of quite old school and it's sort of, it's a version of a toasted sandwich. There's no shame in it, certainly, I don't think. Look, I mean, we're going down a rabbit hole. The point being, I like lots of different types of bread.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can't obviously touch upon them all right now.
Candy?
Top three?
Okay. I would say a fresh...
Well, this isn't the way that you're meant to list a top three.
Oh, number three.
Number three. And then you say, hello.
Oh, sorry. Number three. Hello. I've just got a fresh baguette from a boulangerie in France.
Lovely. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bite the end off on the way home?
Nibble
the end?
Nibble the end and might, to be fair, stick the old paw in and scoop out some dough.
Really?
Maybe.
From the middle?
Yeah, from the middle. Number two. Hello. I appear to have just found some granary bread from a traditional English bakery.
Oh, very nice. Wow. Just covering off any backlash you might have from patriots there.
Yes.
You said French and then you were like, you started to worry that the old Panic. Union Jack Twitter profiles would be coming for you.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And just to take one outside of Europe, number one, hello.
Hello.
I've just found a naan and, oh, that's a shame. I found some red mints in it. That's a keema naan.
It's a shame that you found the red mints in it?
Well, a little bit of a wink there. Nightmare. There's some red mints inside my naan. I appear to have got a keema naan. And sometimes I'll get a keema naan and actually I'm not averse to putting the keema naan in the toaster in the morning.
Really?
Yeah, and having that with some poached eggs.
Oh, lovely.
And that's what is known as a lifestyle choice.
Do you count that as one of your three Indian meals in the week?
No, that's a bonus.
That's a bonus.
That's floating Indian.
Yeah. Freebie there.
That's a freebie.
Yeah.
That's a freebie.
Yeah. Lovely. I mean, so is that your bread that you want? Is it the keema naan?
Nope, I'm taking poppadoms.
Okay.
because actually...
So James was right immediately.
Yeah, James was right. I actually love the... it's a process, isn't it? And it's a performance, you know. Mm-hmm. That whole, can we get some poppadoms?
Yeah.
And then those dips come. And, you know, some twerp in your party karate chops the poppadoms.
Yeah. Can I just say, you say twerp.
Oh, yeah.
I can totally imagine you being that person.
It's you every time.
It must be you every time, leaning over with that look. You glaze over and you turn into a chimp.
You do.
You turn into a mischievous chimp and you do things like smash the poppadoms. You love that.
Yeah. No,
or you lean over and you look at us all cheekily and you say, shall I be mother? And then you chop it.
No.
You've done that before.
No. And I'll tell you why, because I don't chop it, I slap it.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
You don't chop, you slap.
I slap.
Slap's better than the chop.
Well, I think the slap's more spectacular because, I mean, it is carnage.
Yeah.
And no one can get any... No one can find a shard after that that's large enough to actually go into a dip and come out alive.
And the reason people are chopping it is because it's a bit more courteous. It's the thin side of your hand and you're going full palm, just slapping the whole thing.
Yeah, lick the palm and then palm straight down on the poppadoms.
Yeah.
Shall I be mother?
Yeah, sparkling water and poppadom, yeah.
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 That's chaos key coming in there
where
you turn up.
I'd also get a drink at that point, I think.
Yeah, sure.
And so maybe it's worth getting the drink now?
I think so, yeah. Is it the first of many?
Are you switching it up or are you one drink all night?
I'll keep the same drink all night, I reckon.
Okay, so we're going to do drink now. Interesting.
We do drink now.
We can do it later. I don't want to bug the format.
No, come on. If it's when you'd normally get it?
Well, I'll probably get a...
You're talking a...
What's happening here?
cobra rising out the basket?
No, I wouldn't get a cobra rising up out the basket. No, I think I'd be playing my flute and having a kingfisher rising out the basket.
Yeah. Bit of a surprise for everyone. You think you know what's going to come out of that basket?
I think I'm drawing a crowd. Yeah.
What's the difference?
I think I just prefer the flavour of kingfisher. But, you know, you're right. I mean, my taste buds are as adult as yours. I don't know. And actually, it's not my favourite drink. I mean, I just think it's a circumstantial thing where it is the perfect bedfellow for poppadoms and dips.
So this is interesting. Some people choose to just pick their favourites out of everything and it doesn't necessarily go together as a meal.
Yeah.
You're very much here to have a consistent meal that all goes together.
Are you asking me or telling me?
I'm sort of doing both.
Yeah. Well, actually, you should do neither.
Right, okay.
Because that's not what I'm doing and you'll see that when I order my starter.
Interesting.
But you've got the kingfisher, so you've got a drink to accompany the poppadoms.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm asking, maybe we'll switch to another drink later.
Well, maybe we will, because you're going to have egg in your face in a minute when I mention my starter.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Anyone who's done a gig with you in Bush Hall knows that the whole night is you talking about who's going to go for an Indian after this.
Oh, I do my set as well.
Who's coming? No.
Your set is mainly talking about the Indian, isn't it?
Well, you think my set is mainly me muttering into the microphone going, now then, there's one, I think there's one on, is there one on Gold Hawk Road? Now we've got to go. Yeah, I will tell a joke. No.
To be fair, Tim, that doesn't sound completely different to what your sets are like.
Mm. Wow. It's a struggle, but I'm going to have to try and take that as a compliment. But I don't know whether I'm going to get that one across the line quite. You think my sets are me muttering to myself and occasionally noticing there's an audience?
Would you not be tempted, Tim, with your poppadoms?
Here we go.
To have a lovely glass
of
Indian wine.
Now then.
Now, why do you think this has come up?
I think this has come up because I sometimes buy you wines from around the globe.
Tim's got into a little habit of buying me wines from around the globe.
That's nice.
Oh, yeah. There's no shame in that.
Lovely. He goes quite obscure, I'd say.
Well, he doesn't try to go obscure. He finds himself going obscure.
Yeah.
There's nothing I'd like to do more than buy you a French red, but that just hasn't been an option thus far.
Turned up at my house. It was a very nice gesture on, I guess, what should have been our wedding day.
Yeah.
Mine and my wife's, not mine and Tim's,
mm-hmm.
with a bottle of wine. He was on his bike, just stood outside the house. Complete surprise.
Lovely.
He went, I bought you a bottle of wine. It's Israeli wine.
Nice.
I bought it from a shop. The man pushed me towards it. I was like, what sort of shop was it? He went, it was a kosher shop. So it was a lovely bottle of Israeli wine.
He only had Israeli wine in the end.
Yes. Yeah.
I found this out sort of gradual dawning as I was looking around the whole shop and sort of seeing, I don't know, like French, Australian, Chilean. But actually every single label I looked at said Israeli.
Yeah.
And eventually you sort of have to get the Israeli wine, which I hadn't heard much about, I must say. It wasn't really flashing that brightly on the old radar, the old Israeli wine.
Well, I did drink that and it was fine, I'd say.
Okay. Yes, it's certainly not a slogan that they should be headlining their advertising with. I did drink that and it was fine.
The Indian wine I've still got.
You're still going on that one?
Still going on that one. I'm not sure how that one's going to be because I did look up the reviews of that one.
Uh-huh.
There are only two reviews and I think it was hovering at around a sort of 1.7 out of 5.
Ooh, with two reviews?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And one of them was naught.
Yeah. One was a naught.
Yeah.
So a naught and a 3.4.
A naught and a 3.4. And the 3.4, I'm pretty sure, was one of the winemakers.
That's amazing. If you've made the wine, you're giving it 3.4.
Yeah. I
can't, in all good consciousness, give this 5.
I will drink it, though. I tell you what, when this episode comes out, I will do a tasting.
Oh, nice.
And I'll put it online, the tasting of the Indian wine.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Well, he said stuff like this before, and he doesn't do it. He said that he'd eat a poppadom sandwich in the bath, and he's never done that. And he swore blind that he'd do it.
That's a great idea.
All right, well, if I drink the Indian wine, will you film yourself having a poppadom sandwich in the bath?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, I mean, that is ultimate Tim Key, isn't it? Being in the bath eating poppadoms.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, that's, you can't get more Tim Key than that.
That's peak Tim Key. I love a bath, I love poppadoms, but I've never combined them.
Yeah,
I must say.
Time.
Yeah.
So you film yourself doing that.
Yeah.
And Ed will do the wine tasting.
Do you want me to film it? Okay. You can't send a crew?
Send Benito around?
be nice to have Benito. I mean, it's a bit of a cramped bathroom, but I'm sure you could get your equipment in.
Yeah.
I will wear trunks. I'll put that out there now.
Oh,
yeah. I'll wear little black trunks.
Yes. LBTs.
LBTs. I'll put the LBTs on if I'm being filmed eating a poppadom sandwich in the bath.
Yeah. Let's get on to this starter that apparently is going to blow Ed's mind.
Well, it's not going to blow it, but like I just feel like he's got a reading. He thinks he's got a reading.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I think we're on an Indian meal now, so I think you are about to change my mind.
Okay. I'm going to go for the... Can I take the baked camembert, please, James?
Oh, yes, you may.
Yeah, you've surprised me there.
Yeah.
You have surprised me.
Yeah, baked camembert.
So why are we veering off here? Well, what's so glorious about the baked camembert that it beats all of the...
Have you had baked camembert?
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic.
I like it. Yeah.
I mean, it's just so decadent.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hearty. Also, I slightly play the system here because I would imagine I probably get to have bread with this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. Unless, I mean, you could dip a shard or two of poppadom in there, couldn't you?
I don't think I want to, I don't think I want those two things to
cross the streams.
That's it. I don't want to cross the streams. That's exactly the phrase I was looking for. I don't want to cross the streams.
Right, okay.
But you don't think you'd be tempted?
I wouldn't even be tempted to, but would I be tempted to dunk poppadoms in a cheese?
Just to see what it was like.
I think that'd be great.
Do you think so?
Right, here we go. Spicy poppadom dunked in camembert with a little bit of mango chutney on the top. I think that would be absolutely incredible.
You know more about food than me. Mm. I wouldn't even know where to start with that. That's insane.
It's just cheese and crackers with chutney, then.
I think you might have to have a reinforced poppadom because I think, you know, what you're trying to pick up here, it's not child's play, the camembert.
Mm.
It's like depending on how late into the proceedings it is.
Sure.
When it first comes out of the oven, when you first cracked the white, you know, sort of soft shell of the exterior with the cracked black pepper and the olive oil, once you've cracked that,
and how are you cracking that? Palm slap?
I think I'd have to go chop.
You have to chop.
I have to go chop for that.
That would be too much carnage. Shall I be mother and then palm straight into molten cheese?
I did a Shall I Be Mother to Alex Horn once, and I must say, it was in Edinburgh, and his parents were there, and I did a Shall I Be Mother, and it was with a pie, and actually, there was a slight element of people looking at Horn as if to say, he probably shouldn't be mother. But I think if you're ordering a pie, and no, I don't know whether I agree with this now. I was going to say, if you're ordering a pie, you're sort of slightly taking your life into your own hands. But actually, you should be allowed to have a pie.
Yeah.
That's not on them. So when you say you did it to a pie, you did Shall I Be Mother and slap the pie?
Yeah. But I don't think...
In an attempt to cut the pie, there's a couple of things here. Like a slice.
I think you're trying to get into the community, the idea that I have a catchphrase, which is Shall I Be Mother?
Oh, don't you worry. That's done now.
Yeah, that's done.
That's crystallised. There will be people across the country having Indian meals saying Shall I Be Mother and then slapping the poppadoms. Yeah.
That's happening, is it?
Yeah. Then explaining...
Is that the power of this podcast?
That is the power of this podcast. Shall I Be Mother is now part of the public consciousness.
What horrible power this podcast has. I mean, the irony is, I'm going to start doing that, and I've never done that before.
Yeah.
Not with the catchphrase.
Well, I think you have.
I think you definitely
have. Not with the catchphrase,
I remember you doing that.
Shall I Be Mother? So, yeah, I must say, spearing my camembert with my poppadom. The poppadom is done, the waiter has taken away the poppadom, and actually they've now changed their waiting staff to be slightly more French, and they've delivered me a camembert with the French bread, and I'm just, you know, horrible phrase, smearing cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's part of the dream meal as well, is that the people bringing you the different courses, they're from the nations where the dishes are from.
That's
as well.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
That
great.
Is fan- oh, sorry. You were asking me.
I was asking you. Do you want that?
Yeah.
Of course, I want that.
You are very. It's very difficult for you to tell if Ed's asking a question or doing a statement, isn't it?
Do you know what? I like Ed. Full is fault. No, I do.
Not putting you against him.
No. But I do like Ed.
Yes.
But what I would say is, I will take a glass of red wine actually at this stage, James. Thank you.
From France or from Israel or India?
Oh, I'll take an Israeli French, please.
I'll have that with the camembert.
A lovely glass of
with
Israeli
the camembert and fresh French bread. And,
well, let me ask you this: you got the fresh French bread?
Yeah.
Baguette. Yeah. You've taken it back from the bakery. Maybe you've nibbled the top off.
Oh.
You've eaten the inside, like you said. You do sometimes. So you've almost hollowed it out.
Yeah.
Do you want to just pour in the camembert liquid cheese into the middle of that baguette just to see what that's like? Have a bite.
I would not at all be
you
against
that. You wouldn't do that.
Be against that.
Oh, you wouldn't be against that.
I know. I
went on a real rollercoaster there.
But my real worry is that actually I don't think the phrase pour is quite right. I mean, on paper, I suppose this is a dream restaurant, isn't it? But in a dream restaurant, I think you're pouring it in and that's going splendidly. But I think in real life, it's not going to pour. Started to set. I think you're almost, you know, getting clumps out with your hand and forcing it in.
Yeah.
And that's, you're not with your hands, don't you? We can have cutlery at this meal.
Yeah.
I can?
Yeah.
Oh. I'll take the cutlery.
Because we've
but
had
I,
so
I,
far.
I don't
we're,
need
we're
it slap, so far.
We're slapping the poppadoms.
Yeah.
You're gulping from your hands that you've scooped the water up with.
Oh, that's true, actually. Wheel. Well, you wouldn't expect me to fork it into my mouth, to be fair to you.
It's just a lot going on with your hands, which is fine.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on with my hands.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you say that to any of your guests? You know,
no.
your high-profile guests, would you use phrases like, there's a lot going on with your hands?
Only the ones who turn up, and so far every single course has been eating with your hands.
Yeah, we'd have to flag
like,
it up.
You're very instinctive. You're like a little bear running around.
Do you know what? There's another dish that's on my books here, which is also very much
pincers.
It's with the pincers, because I don't think there's not a person in the world who would eat my side dish with a knife and fork.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah,
are you putting garlic cloves in the camembert before you bake it? Maybe some rosemary.
Yes, I'll do both of those things.
Yeah.
I think.
Both.
Yeah.
Rosemary can take a hike, in my opinion.
Oh, no fan of rosemary.
Nope.
Have you used rosemary in any cooking?
I don't use it, but I've had it before in dishes, and I've never been a fan of it.
What about if it's with its sort of natural bedfellow, the old sheepy?
I'll accept it if it's with the sheepy, but I'm gonna eat round it. I don't want to.
I personally, bite into you've a hit rosemary. On a bit of a bugbear of mine. I hate the phrase "eat round."
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's appalling.
Go on.
There's nothing to go on. I just eat round.
Yeah.
Just get on with it.
You want to eat through?
When was the last time you ate round?
Well, it probably would be when I'm eating a sheepy and there's some rosemary in there. But like.
Well, what do you like the flavour of rosemary?
Not
or
really.
Are you just eating around the leaves because of the texture?
Right, sure.
I don't like the leaves because of the texture, but I also don't really like the flavour of it that much.
Hey, James.
It doesn't do much for me.
In future, why don't you flick off and eat through?
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, look, you can flick off when they're not looking, you know, the people you're eating with, and then you can just eat through. Otherwise, would you eat round in company?
Oh, no, not probably not in company.
But you wouldn't flick off in company, would you?
To be fair, you wouldn't have sheepy if you're not in company. Maybe. When would you have sheepy on your own?
You wouldn't have solo sheepy, would you?
No. Who's roasting a sheepy on their own?
You can't tell me what to do in company. You've karate chopped a pie and said, shall I be mother in company?
Well, I haven't said, shall I be mother?
Yes, you have.
And it was a slap.
You slapped a pie in front of Horn's parents.
What was in the pie?
I'm just trying to remember it on his mother's blouse. I think it was sort of certainly gravy. So there must have been some lumps of
was it sheepy?
I don't know. I think it was beefy. I think it was beefy, both of them.
Yeah, beef. Oh, you don't want that in the pie.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, Answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I want to know about your main course.
The one I've got down in my mind's eye is, but I don't know what, you know, this is the one I'm least kind of decisive about. Yeah. I've gone for a chicken shakuti.
Yes.
You guessed it.
Yeah. And
this means a lot. I introduced you to this.
Yeah, you did. And I think you introduced, me and James played a gig in Shoreditch probably about 7 years ago, I reckon. Mm-hmm. And then we went for an Indian. James was desperate to...
In Shepherd's Bush.
Yeah.
I was desperate.
Yeah. He ordered one. And he said, I always get a chicken shakuti. And I'd not heard of it. And I had it. And yeah, I always look for it now on the menu.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic dish, isn't it?
Yeah. It's great.
Talk me through it. I've never had one. Never heard of it.
Talk Ed through it.
So it's difficult to talk people through it. Yeah. But like, so I got into them because when I worked at one of the pubs I worked at, they just started stocking them.
He's got such a humble backstory. It's fantastic. Yeah. You literally worked in a pub. You're a superstar now. But you started off just pulling pints for people. That's mad.
I was in the kitchen. You weren't even allowed out front.
Wasn't in front of house.
No.
Just this sort of, you know, lanky drink of water, just sort of, you know, his white gown covered in spaghetti. Now look at him. What, three Netflix specials? Four?
Four, please.
Yeah, there we are.
White gown.
White gown?
What?
Yeah. White gown?
White gown. I was a bride.
Yeah.
White.
Cooking spaghetti.
A bride covered in spaghetti.
The runaway porter.
That was my beginnings.
Carrying out massive black sacks with meat juice sort of splaying onto his trainers. Yeah. Now look at you.
Exactly that.
Yeah, no, you're hosting TV shows. You've got a very popular podcast. Yeah. You're part of the conversation.
Part of the conversation.
Yeah. You are.
Yeah.
So you were working in this kitchen out back.
Yeah. Shakuti.
Yeah. So we started doing these.
Have you picked a curry based on the one you like to say the most and the one that sounds funniest in your voice?
So on the thing, it was spelled X-A-C-U-T-I.
Yeah.
And we were told to say it's Zakuti.
Yeah.
Tim has, I think, done his research a bit more and goes with a bit more.
Well, I've spent a couple Zakuti. Of weeks preparing for the pod.
Yeah. So it's proper.
Chicken shakuti.
It just meant that every time I saw it on a menu, I just like had some weird personal connection to it because we had so many of them for so long in the kitchen. And it wouldn't always be on an Indian menu, but every time it was, I'd go for it. Yeah. And then I said it to Tim. Yeah, like a lot of things that I say on this podcast where like you and Benito will say that's the most boring thing you've ever said on the podcast. I remember being in the restaurant and saying to Tim, I'm going to get chicken shakuti because I always get one when there's one on the menu, and thought to myself, well, that's the most boring thing I've ever said. And then Tim went, I'm going to get one as well. And you go, oh, yeah, because luckily I'm talking to Tim, who appreciates.
I'm very yes and.
Yeah,
I'd say so, mate.
Do you know what my brother gets when he's at an Indian restaurant?
No.
Right. Any idea? Any guess?
I'm going to go for...
Gelfrezi?
No.
I was going to say Gelfrezi.
Always the same. It's always on the menu.
Boona.
No, not a boona.
Tikka masala.
He gets a chicken curry. His thinking is that is their standard.
Yeah.
That's what they've nailed that, and they base every single dish on that. He's thinking, I'm going to get that at source. It's like drinking fresh milk straight out of the udder.
Yeah.
He gets a chicken curry. He doesn't waste his time worrying, vexating about all this other stuff that's on the menu. He'll have a chicken curry. Now, I'm the other way. I like going to an Indian restaurant. It's fantastic. But I'll pore over that menu looking for stuff and just think, I don't know what I'm getting. And so I don't really have a go-to. But that's the beauty of the chicken shakuti.
Yeah.
It's not on every menu. So when it's on, if I see it, I will usually get that and often text James.
Yeah.
Don't know what it is. No one's told me what it is.
So here's what's great about it. Tim might agree with me here. Is that
I will definitely agree. I don't care what you say. I'm yes and.
He's yes and.
Aside from the chicken, everything else just seems to be up for grabs.
Yeah, it is. So like, it is one of the most up for discussion dishes I've seen in my life.
Yeah. Every time I order it, I actually don't know what I'm about to get. And I don't think I've ever had two the same, even from the same restaurant. No. There's a place near me that does it, and I've got it several times from there. And
so there's no official chicken shakuti.
Well, there was a period of time where
they just leave them to it.
Well, there was definitely a bit where I thought, well, there's definitely coconut, but I don't think there always is. I think it's sort of, come one, come all. I mean, I think if you've got coconut, bang it in, but actually there's no shame in putting some cashews and seeing who salutes.
Yeah. So, according to the official Wikipedia,
here we go.
What is in here?
Telling me this is useless, really, because no matter where you go, it's different anyway.
Well, that's what I find. But that's if my,
Well, that's what I also find exactly the same thing.
Well, you're yes and,
yeah,
not
yeah.
Yes and, yeah. Of course.
So it's got poppy seeds in it.
Yeah,
I've never detected that before. Sliced or grated coconut.
Large
dried red chilies. It definitely is. It's got some spice.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's got a bit of kick. Yeah, that's the beauty of it. It's not a korma.
You can have it chicken, lamb, or beef.
Yeah.
And it's known as chakuti in Portuguese.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting to round off your Wikipedia reading with what it's called in Portuguese. Do you always do that?
Yeah. Most of the time.
Me too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes and.
Yes and.
Yes Anderson.
I mean, it's delicious.
Yeah. Wherever, it's fantastic.
You go.
Yeah, I have it with some rice usually.
Yeah.
What kind of rice do you go for in there?
Do you know what I sometimes have? Plain rice.
Oh, yeah?
I quite like plain rice.
See, this is exactly the thing you were making fun of your brother for.
So. Yes, it is, actually. Well, I wasn't making fun. I was describing my brother's behaviour.
In such a way as... Yeah.
Well, if people
in a way, you'll never guess what my brother does.
If people want to have fun with the information, then they're more than happy. My brother has fun with it.
Yeah, yeah.
My brother tells people, and he can't believe he's saying it.
Yeah. He knows.
Would he have plain rice as well? Would he have chicken curry and plain rice?
Probably would. But I mean, you're talking about a guy who last week got a train to the Lake District, climbed Helvellyn, came back down and got home the same day.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, took photos of himself on the top of it. I mean, it looked, well, you could say it looked sort of pretty or snowy, but actually dangerous, I would say.
Yeah, sure.
Just climb that in January. He's home by 11. He's climbed Helvellyn.
I mean, to be fair, he lives in Kendall.
Yeah, good point.
Also, what's interesting about this, so we've had one guest in the past who's really gone all in on Indian food, and
they went for an Indian
basically,
yeah,
and that was Diane Morgan.
Mm.
You said you went for a meal with Diane Morgan in the show Afterlife. You were very mean to her.
Yeah.
In my head now, this is what is kind of happening, is you and Diane are going for a curry together.
Yeah.
Because you have very similar menus on off menu and you're telling her to get her elbows off the table.
Yeah. Yeah, but I can't emphasise enough that this was an acting job rather than me and Diane.
You were horrible to her.
The public have spoken on that.
You were horrible to her.
I was horrible to Diane in that scene. But we had a great time. I've worked with Diane on several occasions and she's one of the greats in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You were so nasty to her.
Yeah.
No, my character was very nasty to her.
I wouldn't have stood for it if you Diane.
They say cut and I snap out of it. Don't worry about that.
I'd have hit you, mate.
Not what I saw.
No, because you haven't
seen snap out
of it. You haven't seen the outtakes. Well, they'll come out. Don't worry about that. They push the outtakes on that show. I was laughing along. Don't worry about that. You look like an idiot if you're not laughing along in the outtakes.
If you don't, I mean, it must be hard.
That would be so funny if you watch an outtakes package for a show and they just pan round. And one of the actors just sat there looking
just
so
trying to
sad.
Get on with it.
Yeah, just wants to go. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Gotta wrap this up.
So I think it's interesting that you've picked a main course, Tim, that is variable wherever you go. Is there a specific chicken shakuti that you had and you were like, this is the definitive shakuti for me and I hope the next one's like this as well?
There's a good chicken shakuti in Memsahib in Islington.
Great. We've got a name. Is that the sitar place?
No.
No?
Okay. No, the sitar place is my favourite Indian in London.
So and you refuse to mention it?
He's fantastic. He's not always there.
Yeah, but you're swerving naming the restaurant still.
On my birthday, I booked a table for 10 and this guy was there. And I think that's because the manager had said, let's get the sitar player in.
I'm going to Google now.
Oh, here we go.
Indian restaurants with a sitar player in London.
Might be a few.
Yeah, it might be a few.
Well... Yeah. I don't know.
It's not like he said banjo player.
I wouldn't mind listening to banjo music in an Indian.
Yeah?
Don't know.
Imagine it.
And do you know what I'd say? Do you know what I would say to that restaurant?
Yeah.
if there was a banjo player in an Indian, I'd say, do you do Deliverance? Do you do Deliverance?
Why would you be in the Indian restaurant?
Well, normally you ask, do you do delivery?
Yeah, but you wouldn't.
But then there's a film Deliverance where there's like a famous Julian banjo scene.
But you wouldn't ask that if you were in the restaurant. Do you do delivery?
Yes, James. Yes. And I'll tell you why. Because in lockdown, I remember going to a restaurant.
Yeah.
And it was on my allocated hour of exercise.
Yes.
And then I go in there and I say, do you do delivery? Because I wanted an Indian later that night.
Right. Okay.
Now, if there'd been a banjo player, I think I absolutely could have said, do you do Deliverance?
Why would have there been a banjo player in lockdown at an Indian restaurant?
Well, I don't know. The restrictions were, obviously, they there was a breadth to them, but I don't remember the specific no banjo players in Indian restaurants.
It would seem like a waste of money on the Indian restaurants part to hire entertainment for a restaurant that was shut.
Yeah, that's true. But then again, you know, you can sort of imagine some businesses would keep people on even though they knew that it was mad to do so.
Because they didn't want to put them on furlough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would say there was probably quite a lot of locked up theatres where they kept doing the play. I think Mousetrap went from strength to strength in lockdown because I saw them when they unlocked and they looked very slick. I think they'd really got their act together. Different murderer as well. I think they'd had fun with it. They'd workshopped it. Have you seen the Mousetrap?
Yeah, I have actually.
No,
yeah.
I don't know who did it. Don't spoil it.
Well, why would I spoil it on this podcast? That would be carnage for Mousetrap.
I think I've seen all of them, all the plays.
Have you? What's your favourite?
All the big ones.
What's your favourite one?
Women in Black, like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's still going, is it? It's been going for a long time.
My phone went off in that one. Couldn't find it. What I would say is my personal favourite at the moment is probably your friend of mine, Come From Away.
Oh, really? I've not seen that. Fantastic. It's on Disney Plus now. I was thinking of watching it on that, but I should go and see it live.
Oh,
I, really.
It's fantastic.
Chapeur.
What? That's the restaurant?
Yeah.
No. Oh. That's a good effort.
Babaji?
Tim.
Okay.
Do you want to know my side dish?
Yeah.
Okay. It is, and it's not really a side dish, and actually it's maybe a starter, if that. But when you're just sort of dreaming about what food you like and what food you remember, I just remember this food, and I've only had it once, and it was in Rome, and I was outside a little restaurant having lunch in the sunshine about 3 years ago, before the lockdowns. Mm-hmm. This is an oven-roasted artichoke.
Oh, yeah.
All in one.
Oh, yes.
They bung it in the oven, or however they cook it. It's smothered in something, olive oil and, you know, black pepper maybe.
A bit of lemon, something. Yeah.
And I'm just having this pint of beer. Or not even a pint, because it's Italy. It's like a glass, a flute.
Yeah.
And next to it, there's this artichoke. And what the idea is, again, there's no knives and forks. You're pulling off this, you're pulling off the flowers.
Yeah.
And you're just eating these flowers, and they're melting in the mouth.
Mm.
And actually, I've had some food in my time, probably like you two. But this is one of the great examples of food.
Yeah.
Just really nice food.
Simple, straight up, presented as it comes in nature.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think they must parboil it to some extent.
Oh, don't use
maybe,
phrases like that.
Whack
don't
it
take
in the oven.
Don't take the romance out of it, Ed. Don't kill
it's not as bad as Eat Round.
Don't kill the artichoke.
But you
well,
are.
It's not
you're
as bad as Eat Round.
You're doing a lot of eating round with
no,
an artichoke.
No, you're not.
Though.
No, you're picking. You're plucking.
Yeah, but then you're eating round, aren't you? When you get one of those in your mouth, there's certain bits you're eating, and you're eating round some bits because you're not eating the whole leaf, are you? You're sucking the bottom, really.
I think you're eating the whole leaf.
You're not, mate. If you did that. I think you've had an absolute nightmare.
Very small if. I think I was eating the whole leaf.
How? Isn't it like really dense and woody? And would you eat the whole leaf?
Well, I don't know enough about, you know, I mean, I had a similar thing recently.
Yeah.
I just popped it in the mouth.
Well, what was the similar thing? How similar was it? Was it a cream egg?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
It's a cream egg with olive oil, lemon and black pepper.
It was a cream egg. No, it's artichoke, but they, I don't know, you like deep fried it in like...
That's what it is, deep fried. It's not oven baked.
With cheese and ham in it, Parma ham.
Oh, wow.
And then they just gave it to you and then you just put it in the mouth all in one.
Where's that?
It was when I went to San Sebastian.
Oh, lovely.
And they gave it to you, did they?
Yeah. They do loads of... small dishes there that aren't called tapas and they're called something else, and I've forgotten what they're called.
Pinchos?
Pinchos, yes. Oh, yeah. And I was going around eating those, and just as I was leaving, they were like, you haven't tried the best one.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I'll have it then. And so, okay, we'll quickly do it for you. Red hot, hot as the sun.
Yeah.
Gave it to me, scorched all the skin in my mouth,
yeah.
But it was absolutely delicious. Loved it.
Man.
Wow, that's
fantastic. So I think we're talking about two different things there, Tim.
Right.
I guess if you're deep frying and they've probably sorted the leaves out a little bit so you can just pop the whole thing in your mouth. And
oh, I don't know what's going on. I mean, I just, you've put doubts into my mind and you've made me think I'm like literally like sitting at a table eating a houseplant.
Yeah. And now do you imagine like all of the waiters and stuff were inside like laughing at you because you're basically eating a knife and fork?
I think they're laughing into their palms.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Sounds lovely, though.
Well, it was lovely when I first started telling the anecdote, but Ed's put a bit of a spanner in
the works. I think we were talking about two different things. I think you can still hold that memory.
I think what I want to do is get one of these things up on my phone just so I sort of know what I was eating, really.
Mm.
So it's artichoke...
While you're doing that, can you tell us the area of London that your favourite curry restaurant is in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of NW...
Well,
maybe one?
NW1.
I think it's NW1. Yeah. Right, so here's the artichoke. Yeah. Oh, I don't know now what I've eaten.
You don't know what it was?
I don't know what it was.
Remember the name of the place?
Rome.
Tim, I think that artichoke dish sounds absolutely fantastic.
Well, I've got a slight wobble on it. I'm a bit no-and about it, but what I do remember is really enjoying it in Rome.
Yes.
And so I think what I probably will have to do is just keep that on my menu.
Yeah, and Italian waiter?
I'd love an Italian waiter to come out.
Beer?
Yeah, he'll give me a Birra Moretti, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I've got a strong memory of having...
L'Italiano Autentica.
Yeah, L'Italiano Autentica.
Yeah, Italiano Autentica.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then afterwards I had a, an Italian cigarette.
Did you?
Yeah. It was just like a sunny afternoon and
lovely.
I read my book.
Do you want the cigarette as well? Do you want him to bring you out the cigarette?
I might have a mid-meal cig.
Yeah, why not? You're very cool, Tim. It's a very cool scene.
Well, I was at that, cool. at that exact moment...
Rome. Yeah,
I wasn't far off, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Rome. People were clocking you as they were walking past. This is a cool guy.
Well, I was waving pretty extensively, so
yeah.
I would imagine some people were aware of what I was up to.
Yeah.
I had my showreel out on my iPad. I was certainly meeting people halfway, let's put it that way, James.
I think that sounds delicious.
I think afterwards, on my way back to my living quarters, I went to a place where you could buy all sorts of different chili. Just a whole kind of, boutique shop where you could just get lots of different types of chili at different strengths.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Did you buy some?
Yeah, I bought quite a powerful one.
Yeah.
And had to think about maybe a third of a teaspoon, put it in a chili when I got home, and completely inedible because it was too hot.
Yeah.
And threw this stuff out. Because unfortunately it was not workable as something that you could cook with. It was just more part of the vibe in Rome.
Yeah, it's just there for...
Yeah. Always do that on holiday, though.
Oh, God.
Buy stuff like that, and you're like, this is going to be me now.
I know.
Mm.
Holiday me is now me.
Holiday me is now me. Yeah, it's a story as old as time. I remember buying in India, like, a sort of spice, I want to say sort of concertina, where it's just, like, about 20 spices that sort of wrap up, and then when you, unclip them, they just hang down.
Oh, nice.
And then you got all these spices. I mean, completely impractical. And it's probably illegal to import, but, we are where we are. You buy anything when you're sort of, plodding around India.
When I was in Italy, I bought my mum a souvenir from a shop. It was this shop that did, like, wood carvings. And there was a wooden spoon,
yeah,
that had standard design of a spoon. But then on the end, where there's normally just the handle, there's another, like...
What? Pardon me?
Spoon, another bowl.
Mm.
And then in between the two things... that's joined by this groove that's been cut into the wood. And what you're meant to do is, the guy said, it's so that if you're making a soup, you get the bit of the soup that you want to taste, to check if it's good, and you can just tip it, and then it will go down that little river in the middle, the groove, and it will go into the other end, and you can sip out of that end so that the part of the spoon that you're putting into the soup isn't the same part that you're putting into your mouth.
I think that's genius.
So I thought, my mum's going to use this all the time, it's going to be great. I bought it back for you. I was like, look, I got you this present from Italy. And when I was over for Christmas this year, I saw it there and I could see it had been used.
Oh, it had been used.
And I was
used.
Like,
that's
oh, mum, you've been using that? She was like, oh, no, I just leave it next to the oven and I just test the soup with like a normal spoon and then I just rest it on that one so it's not on the counter. So it's just there. It's just there.
It's a resting spoon.
It's a resting spoon.
Still no. She's still
using
it.
She's not putting a dirty spoon onto the straight onto the work surface. So you know,
a resting spoon.
Yeah.
I've got an egg that that you put in with your boiled egg.
What?
I've got an egg that you put in with your boiled egg that's got a timer on it, so it's like an electric egg, and it flashes when it's been in there long enough. So you take both eggs out.
I don't think that's true.
So this is an egg, and you put it in with your normal egg, and when you're...
Do you mean it's an egg timer in the shape of an egg? Because you're not supposed to put those in the water.
Oh, well, I've been putting mine in the water. And it flashes. Well, not flashes, sort of melts a bit. Cracks. It cracks when your egg's ready.
It cracks, yeah. Sticks to the side of the pan. Your dream drink, we've already said, is that right?
Or do you want another one? Because we're having, like, you seem to be having a little drink with every course, which is nice. That's fine. That's occasionally
I'm okay for a drink now, thanks. I'll just carry on with my Italiano Autentica.
Yeah,
Italiano Autentica.
Yeah. And then, but we'll have one more drink at the end, if I may. Maybe with you two chaps.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
And I know what that one will be.
What will that be?
Well, we'll cross that bridge. But okay. But it'll be an amaretto.
Yeah.
Definitely be an amaretto.
Okay, so your dessert then?
Well, look, let's not beat around the bush here. My dessert is a banoffee pie.
Oh, yeah.
However, I'm slightly going against what I said earlier because I'm getting a banoffee pie and I'm afraid this won't go down well. I'm eating round it.
Oh, wow. No.
Well, I don't like cream.
You don't like cream?
No.
So you're eating round the cream, which is on the top, all over it?
Yes. I'm eating round it, but I'm committed to it.
I'm not sure you can eat round it.
I will eat round it.
What are you flipping the pie over?
I've eaten a lot of banoffee pies, and I always know what I'm in for.
Yeah.
I know there's a little bit of building work to be done.
Yeah.
I know I'm getting the old trowel out, and I know I'm eating round.
So are you eating round or are you scraping off?
Do you know what? If I'm being completely honest, I'm scraping off.
Yeah.
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 Because you can't say you're going to eat round after you told James to flick off.
Yeah. You told me to flick off earlier.
Yeah, I did tell you to flick off. And what did you did something wrong, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
No, you've been
wrong.
Okay.
No,
but been great. What
in your head, maybe you thought in your head. I've said out loud. Yeah.
Look, I'm scraping off then.
Yeah.
I'm scraping off and, you know, the people I'm eating with, are they enjoying my behaviour? Probably not, because I'm putting cream into a napkin. And then also kind of, you know, clumping the napkin up like, you know, Dick Whittington, you know,
like
with his bindle. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, you taking that with you?
It wouldn't surprise me if, and I know this is not what you do in some of the classier restaurants, if I put my napkin bindle full of cream in my anorak and disposed of it on my way home.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm with you, though...
Yeah.
You're taking the cream? I'm taking the cream, but if you don't let me, and you have a little cream bindle and you put it in your pocket, I'm smacking your pocket immediately.
Yeah. Can I be mother?
Can I be mother? Smack. See you next time. I would definitely say see you next time after I've done it.
I do not want my exploded cream in my pocket, really.
No.
Tim. Well, maybe since I know that,
yeah,
I can either make sure that pocket has nothing in it, so when the cream bin dog comes in, I know it's going to be low maintenance to get it out. Or I could even take it to a tailor and have it lined with waterproof...
That's
like a trick pocket.
Yes, can you line my pocket with Gore-Tex, please? Because I'm going to a restaurant with James Acaster later. And
I plan on putting a bindle of cream in there.
I'll definitely put a cream in my pocket and he'll definitely hit it. So.
if you're in a restaurant where it was sort of a sharing concept and the dessert was they'd bring a whole banoffee pie at the end,
yes,
bearing in mind how much you love banoffee pies, how tempted would you be
to
Shall I Be Mother?
I can honestly say...
If you're there with the horns, all the horns are there.
Yeah. Well...
Cream
to
horns.
Be fair, I've...
Cream horns?
I've...
Mrs. Horn's worn
cream horns?
A black top.
She's in black, is she?
She's in black because she knew what happened last time with the gravy when she was in her white blouse.
Ah.
So she's in black, now this big creamy banoffee pie arrives at the table.
So she's in mourning.
Well, I mean...
Or should we say, the cream horns.
Oh, that's good.
The cream horns is good. The cream horns is good. Well, look, I'll say right off the bat, I have retired... from Shall I Be Mother with the horns.
Have you?
I think so, because you don't seem to quite understand.
He had a strong word, didn't he, with you after that?
No one had any words with me, but the atmosphere in the pub after I'd been mother with the pie was, I don't use this word lightly, untenable. I like very poor. Very, very poor.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm sat there with Horn and, you know, to all intents and purposes, his parents are thinking, well, this guy's like, you know, an important part of this of our son's life. He's a pal. I'm Horn's son's godfather, so I'm actually the godfather of their grandchild.
Yes.
And then I'm mother and there's gravy on them.
Yeah.
You know, if they really put some thought into it, they're thinking, you know, should our son fall? This guy is taking charge of the youngster.
Yeah.
And then they've got Shelby mother as their effectively their grandson's de facto father. And actually then I'm their de facto son-in-law.
Yeah.
Should Horn fall?
Shelby's son-in-law. Yeah.
Should Horn fall? Horn's not falling. I mean, Horn's a very healthy guy. Yeah. But should he fall? Yeah. I've got a certain responsibility.
I'm not sure if you're the godfather of someone's children, if they fall, you become their parents. Son, though. I don't think that's how it works, as far as I know.
I think,
I'd certainly see a lot of them. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that if the son is doing something else, is at school, I'm driving down to Sussex and spending the afternoon with his parents in my capacity as their new son. Mm-hmm. Should Horn fall? But I'm saying that there will be events. Well, for a start off, Horn's funeral.
Yeah.
Where,
you're going to bump into him there.
Where I'm, yeah. And I'd put it this way, I'm not walking around with a banoffee pie waiting for my moment.
But I think your brain would click into gear at that point. It's in the most inappropriate situations that happens, right? So should Horn fall, and you're at his funeral, and there was a morning pie, your brain's going, this is the perfect time for Shelby Mother. It's what Horn would have wanted.
I think the sleeper hit there was morning pie.
Thank you.
I enjoyed morning pie.
Yeah.
When was your last morning pie? I'll tell you mine.
Yeah.
You had a morning pie?
Yeah, December.
Yeah.
I had morning pies most days that month, and there were mints.
How are you spelling morning?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, morning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's not what Ed was doing.
Crosswise.
I don't think I've ever had a morning pie.
Yeah. When you said for me it was December, I was like, oh God, what are we about to hear here? And he said, I had him most days that month. I was like, Jesus.
Big month for you.
Yeah, my entire sketch group got wiped out.
Can't believe Key kept this in the diary, coming in to do this. And then it's like, oh no, it means he had a pie every morning.
Yeah, I was talking about a morning.
I'm ever so sorry. I didn't know the concept of a morning pie. Is there a morning pie?
There is a Horn's funeral. That I was introducing the concept of the morning pie to see if you would Shelby mother it.
Now, even in that sort of situation. I would... Bearing in mind, of course, that my catchphrase isn't "Shall I be mother," I think I'd be very surprised if I debut my "Shall I be mother" material at Horn's funeral.
Right.
Although I don't know, because I was disappointed not to be his best man. So actually, it might be slightly what goes around comes around.
Yeah.
But that might be my catchphrase.
Watto?
I might
was Watto best man?
Watto? No, Watto wasn't his best man.
I don't even know Horn knew anyone else. I guess he's got a brother, maybe.
Yeah.
He got
in. Simple as that. But I had two brothers, and they both did it. Horn's got a lot of people on his books who could do it. You know, Horn's got friends. Don't worry about Horn. You think Horn's scratching about?
Why don't you like the cream, though?
Don't know. Never liked cream.
Is it squirty cream or all cream that you're against?
Squirty. it's all cream, really. I don't think there's a sort of a cream that sort of gets in under the radar.
Not really? Liquid double cream? Like,
do you know what?
Of...
I bought some liquid double cream the other day to cook with, and I couldn't bear to put it in the end.
What were you cooking?
I'll tell you what it was.
Yeah.
It was, you know, your potatoes, Dauphinoise.
Oh. Yeah.
Without cream?
Well, without cream and actually without potatoes, because I got a takeaway instead.
You asked me for a recipe once. I sent you one. I don't think it went down great.
So, what was the recipe?
The courgette pasta stuff.
It did go down great.
Oh, it did. Oh, it went down great.
Was it courgette pasta?
It was this, you got courgette.
Yeah.
And you just like put it in a wok for ages and then really mix it all up until it's like it becomes like a sauce with the courgette and a bunch of other stuff.
And then you stir it through your pasta.
Parmesan, lemon.
Yeah.
Grate some lemon into it.
Went everywhere when you slapped it though, didn't it?
Yeah. Shall I be mother? Slap.
I don't do Shall I be mother on my own. You do know that.
Well, I don't know.
Well, how do we know?
If a tree falls
of times.
In the woods.
I know.
In lockdown, I did Shall I Be Mother a couple of times. I hadn't seen anyone for ages. I actually cooked a lammy.
You did a solo lammy? Yeah, so you're going back on everything you've said on this podcast.
Solo lammy, and then it was like an advanced version of Shall I Be Mother.
Yeah.
As you put it into the oven, you said Shall I Be Mother?
I bombed it. I got on my table, put the lammy on the coffee table, jumped off and landed on my ass on the lammy.
Yeah.
And... gravy everywhere, but no horns, frocks to sort of defend it from the goats.
Yeah.
That's a phrase.
It was at that point, you're there, he sat,
yeah,
butting the lamb.
Butting the lamb.
The door goes, you answer it, it's Horn's parents, inform you that Horn's fallen.
Horn fell in lockdown.
He's fallen and we need you to look after it. Is that fucking lamb on your ass? We need you to look after our grandson.
Sorry, Mrs. Horn, I just did a massive shall I be mother. I'm going mad in here.
And we're having a drink, are we, with this dessert?
Yeah.
I think, well, can I tempt you to fantastic gentlemen with an amaretto on the rocks?
Yeah, sure.
You can.
Marzipan. Liquid marzipan.
Liquid marzipan. I've got an alt as well, if either of you would rather have a Bailey's.
Interesting. Yeah. But Bailey's is cream, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not having a Bailey's.
Oh, right, okay, so this is an alt for us. That's very nice of you.
You wouldn't have. You would drink round the Bailey's.
Oh, yeah, I would drink round. Horrible phrase.
Yeah, scrape the Bailey's off, wouldn't
you? Well, I'd try and flick off the cream.
Put it in a bindle.
and then angle myself away from you.
Yeah. That's good. Bailey's is being poured straight into the Gore-Tex pocket, isn't it?
Yeah. Just pour it directly in, zip it up. Wait, when you get to a bin, unzip it, empty the pocket.
I tell you what, do you ever title these episodes? Because the Gore-Tex pocket has got a shout, hasn't it?
Well, I think this would be called Shall I Be Mother. I think people would be very perplexed if the Gore-Tex pocket became the title for this episode.
I think we'd upset some people if we called it Horn Has Fallen.
Yeah, that would be very sad.
Should Horn fall? Horn won't fall. Horn is, you know, Horn's one of the fittest people I know.
Yeah.
I'm going to read your order back to you.
Oh, great!
Water, a large glass bottle
of
sparkling ice and lime water.
I will give you
a weird order.
I will give you a brand. I think it's... Okay. All right, yeah. Highland Springs.
Tap water wheel. Poppadoms of bread, you want poppadoms with a kingfisher.
Yeah, but I life hack that with my next course.
Starter, baked camembert with fresh baguette and Israeli red wine. Israeli French.
A bottle of Israeli French. I don't remember ordering the Israeli side of things, but I'm happy to take an Israeli French.
You did.
We've recorded it.
You said a glass of Israeli French is what you said.
Oh, you're recording this?
Yes.
Oh.
Main course, chicken shakuti with plain rice.
Chicken and shakuti.
Is that what I said?
Yes, and?
You panic. What I've noticed when you say chicken shakuti is you really panic on chicken. You really rush the chicken.
Yeah.
Because you're nervous about shakuti.
Yeah, yeah.
But what you just need to relax on chicken, and then by the time you get to shakuti, you'll be fine.
I've been saying chicken shakuti my whole life with a Z.
It's the X is the problem you've got.
Shakuti.
It's chicken shakuti.
Yeah.
It's confusing. Side of the Rome artichoke with a Birman Moretti and an Italian cigarette and a Bukowski book.
Oh, I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I hated talking about that artichoke because the more we talked about it, the more gross it sounded.
It's lovely. No, I think it was
but
a great choice.
I remember at the time I really, really liked it.
It sounds nice.
Yeah, okay.
I think it sounds nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dessert. You're going to eat round a banoffee pie.
Yeah, I am, actually.
Put a bundle of cream in your Gore-Tex pocket.
Yeah, and then you're going to be mother.
Yeah.
I'm going to be mother. Yeah. And then you would like us, all three of us, to sit down.
Are we standing?
All four of us?
Standing until this point, are we?
Yep.
Okay.
And have an amaretto on the rocks.
Yeah, take the weight off.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds good.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? Can I get a black coffee at the end?
Yeah,
you can have a black coffee.
Fantastic.
I mean, that sounds very nice. And I'm very happy to see that I've influenced a course.
You have, actually, because that would have been in the mid-2010s, wouldn't it, that occurred?
Yeah.
Before that, it wasn't even on my radar.
It's now on my radar. Next time I go, I'm going to have chicken shakuti in the mind.
Oh, it's really good in the mind,
Yeah.
Tim, thank you very much for coming to the Dream Restaurant.
Oh, real pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Well, there we are, James. Whew. What a way to start the series.
What a way to start it with a bang, and so many catchphrases from there that I think we'll be hearing more of in the future.
I think so, mate. I think, you know, we kick off with a good menu, a lovely, funny chat with Tim, and also we started a national phenomenon, Shall I Be Mother?
Yeah, everyone's going to be doing that now.
Everyone's going to do Shall I Be Mother, be it on poppadoms, pies, puddings.
And you know what to do? When you've done a Shall I Be Mother, you have to take a photo afterwards of the company that you're with. Get the reaction.
Yeah.
And then tweet it at Tim Key and put, I did a Shall I Be Mother. Or these people just got Shall I Be Mothered.
I believe the Twitter handle you're looking for is at Tim Key Person.
Yes, at Tim Key Person. Or if you just want to put, you know, the photo and then just put Shall I Be Mother.
Yeah.
Make sure it's in speech, you know, quotation marks.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Perfect. Do go and buy Tim Key's book, Here We Go Round the Mulberry Bush, an anthology of poems and conversations from outside. It is published on February the 14th, 2022, Valentine's Day, and it's available in all bookshops, including Waterstones. And the ISBN number is 978-1-916-222-6-6-3. And it's published by Utter Impress.
Good to know. What a lovely beginning. Also, thank you to Tim for not saying Southern Comfort.
Yes, thank you, Tim. Thank you. Pick nice drinks, actually, apart from the Israeli French wine, which doesn't exist.
Yeah, which I don't think he even intended to drink.
No. No, he did pick nice drinks. No Southern Comfort. Thank you, Tim.
We've had some nice food recently, haven't we?
We have. We've had quite a lot of wine sent to us in various formats, James, which has been very nice because you know I'm a wine boy. I like wine. Now, of course, we had Ed Sheeran on this show and he talked about his Sandy Wine Club.
Yeah, lovely club. Sounded great. I was left thinking I'd like in on that club, actually. And he read our minds.
Well, we're in on the club now because a couple of the guys from the Sandy Wine Club do actually have their own wine, Vinca canned wine.
Yeah.
So they sendied some of that wine to us. They also very, very kindly included some cheese in my little pack of wine.
Oh, did
wines.
They? That's nice.
Yes, the wine, very, very nice indeed. Thank you. We also got some boxed wine from Lalo. Doesn't boxed wine have a terrible reputation? But
it does, and it doesn't deserve it, I don't think.
Well, classically, I think it does deserve it.
Okay,
James.
Yes, I don't know
but
what
this Lalo boxed wine, genuinely fantastic. I had one of the red wines, and it's lovely to have it. Just out there, lasts for weeks, boxed wine, and you can just have a little splash now and again. You don't have to commit to opening a bottle and then going like, oh God, I've got to have another glass. You can just have a little bit whenever you like over a number of weeks. It was genuinely delicious wine.
Lovely. Thank you so much to those people for sending us the lovely wine.
We've had a bit of a New Zealand rush on things as well, James.
Ah,
Karma Drinks.
Me.
Karma Drinks sent us their new ginger ale, Gingerella.
Love Karma Drinks. Every time I've been to New Zealand, I'd have like Karma Cola or Gingerella or the Lemony Lemon.
Lemony Lemon.
So thank you to them. And also thank you to Sansa, who sent us New Zealand chocolate. I was very giddy when it arrived. And oh my God, there was this like dairy milk, Neapolitan flavour dairy milk. Blew my mind. Tasted so good. Like proper layered up with like, you know, milk chocolate, white chocolate as the vanilla and strawberry flavoured chocolate. Ah. Oh, incredible. And also Whitakers have started doing this peanut butter and jelly one, because like they do the jelly tip chocolate bar where it's filled with like the jelly, and then they do the peanut butter one where it's filled with peanut butter. And this one, some of the squares are filled with peanut butter, some are filled with jelly. It's actually half and half right down the middle, so you have to start from either end of the chocolate bar and work your way in, which I didn't know when I first ate it. I was searching for the peanut butter on one end and I had too much of that, and then it would kind of didn't get the ratios right, so I had to buy some more myself. And I did that, and I bought some for all my family for Christmas, and all the Acasters enjoyed eating the chocolate bars from either end and meeting in the middle, and then you have your peanut butter and jelly. It was great.
It's a wonderful metaphor for life.
Yeah.
You've got to start at either end and work your way into the middle.
That's life.
That's life. I just took the straight peanut butter.
Yeah, yeah, you took that package, home, yeah.
Because it's one of my absolute favourites. So thank you very much for sending that.
Yes, thank you so much.
And Signature Brew, one of my favourite breweries.
I've made a
beer with them. Glug, glug, glug. They sent us some beers, including some of their Christmas beers that they made with the darkness, which are so good.
I believe in a thing called beer.
No, it's called Bell's End, James, after their Christmas song. It is a fantastic beer. Also, huge shout out, this only happened the other day, to another one of my favourite breweries, Vault City, who are based in Edinburgh, and they make incredible sours. They sent me a box of some of their new beers that they're making. Highly recommended any of their sours, really. But they sent me some crazy stuff, including a Cloudy Lemonade Session Sour that they're doing and an Iron Brew Sour.
Wow. I'd also like to say a big thank you to Tom Barnes at Owlis and Longtham. Sent all my family home cooking kits. Simon Rogan home cooking kits. And everyone in my family in their own individual little homes all had a lovely meal. And my dad said that the miso caramel is the best caramel sauce he's ever had in his entire life.
Huge shout out to Tom Barnes for just being a great guy.
Just being a great guy, an absolute legend.
And this isn't even food, James. The good people at Aston Microphones have sent us some microphones. I'm a user of an Aston at home.
Are you?
I am. I love an Aston. They're incredible microphones. They look beautiful.
Yeah.
British-made microphones. They're gorgeously put together. And they sent us our own microphones with our names on them.
Hugely appreciate that. What a life. I can't believe it.
Thank you very much for listening to this first episode of Series 7.
Series 7? Heard of 4? I feel like an old granddad.
You are an old granddad.
I am, actually.
See you next week.
Bye.
Hello, I'm your dad's friend, Lou Sanders, and I've launched a new podcast called Cuddle Club. It's better than it sounds, actually. I talk to special guests about cuddling. There's not another podcast on cuddling, I thought to myself. Guests include Catherine Ryan, Richard Osman, and Alan Davies. It's a perfect gift to yourself or to loved ones, because it's actually free to download. I'd love you to listen, but you're going to be the loser if you don't. It's worth reminding you that there's no other podcast about cuddling. It's business gone crazy. It's available on Apple Podcasts. Of course it is. Acast, yes. Spotify. Wherever you get your podcasts, subscribe now, please. Don't be an absolute dick piece.
Hey, folks. I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. Your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, well, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.